Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Awesome to have Dwayne Kuiper, one of the voices of the San Francisco Giants, who is also, he does radio and TV. So, and he just joined us here. We talked a little bit about the series. I love reminiscing about the past. I mean, I'm sure that there are plenty
of
folks.
So does Dwayne.
Well, it was fun. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's something about it that reminds me of all the reasons why I liked baseball in the beginning, you know?
And let's go behind the curtain real quick. Dano just loves the Giants broadcast with Kuiper and Mike Kruko.
So there's another aspect to that too. And it's one of those like millennial things that connects all of us together with, mm-hmm. you know, me being from a different generation than you two, but still having the appreciation of it.
So you think
Kuiper and Kruko were the voices of a baseball video game called MVP Baseball 05 that was massive. Like everybody between the various video game platforms had this video game. It was the last MVP baseball game, and it was the best one and arguably still the best baseball game that's ever put out. And those two were the voice of it. And having those two do play-by-play while you were playing that game was wildly entertaining. And you heard the same jokes over and over again, but you still kind of giggled every time. And the fact that you could still turn on that broadcast and hear those voices and immediately get transported back to being a kid again is just the best. And they do such a great job on top of it.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's a whole generation of us that grew up on really, really bad Indians baseball, but like
Kuiper was a part of it.
Yeah, and it was funny. He
not
said
that he was bad. He was a heck of a player.
I'm trying to think. That's 70. I don't even know. 74 team where I was reading off some of those names. I think it was 74. Or 77. It was a 77 team. And all those, the guys, I mean, they were 71 and 90 that year. And it's interesting to hear him say that maybe why all those guys ended up becoming broadcasters was because they had to talk a lot of baseball because they were trying to figure out a way to to be involved in the game.
You know,
because they were struggling to win.
You know how I've always talked about
the process?
The process and having a team and building a team and it's your team and winning. Winning was never a part of it for me. Like I didn't have to have winning. Mm-hmm. It was still my team. The basis of that was basically the Indians from the late 60s through like 1982. That's kind of where it came from. Because the Browns had some success. The Cavs had some success. But it was the Indians during that time. You know, and I think the world of Andre Thornton. What a great person back then and now. And Andre came in after Dwayne and Rick and Frank Duffy, Buddy Bell playing third base. You had Fosse and Dave Duncan behind the plate. You know, one of my favorite players, and I hit with a closed batting stance when I tried to hit a baseball when I played high school ball because of George Hendrick. I loved George Hendrick. My favorite baseball player ever in Cleveland. Why? I have no idea. I just loved him. Charlie Spikes out there with him.
Boogaluga, what was he?
The Boogaloosa Bomber.
That's right.
Charlie Spikes.
Yep.
Came over from the Yankees. George Hendrick had such a closed stance, it was silly. And then he ended up in St. Louis and became an absolute beast.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
He was really good. Mm. He's a good hitter. And a longtime coach.
Yeah, I remember seeing him.
Is he still with Tampa?
Yeah, he might
still be with Tampa. Yeah. But Andy, that's why. You know, those were my guys. And I'm following them regardless.
I'm with you. It's the same thing. We're on the same page. There are plenty of us around Northeast Ohio that feel exactly the same way. 216-474-0092. Okay. You know, you're watching the Guardians, and they're struggling. They're struggling out west, and you're trying to figure out how this 500 team can manipulate their way into the playoffs. Are you? That's the question. Do you think the front office is trying to figure out a way that they're going to be a playoff team? The trade deadline is July 31st at 6:00.
That's a long ways away.
It is. And so that's why I'm not real excited about getting into this conversation, but I think it's something that's going to have to come to fruition probably over the next 3 weeks, right? As they get deeper into the Central as far as games back on the Tigers, I mean, you're hovering around 10 right now. You're okay in the wild card race, but there are teams you got to jump over. But again, it's June 17th, so you still have almost, 6 weeks until that till the trade deadline. What names are going through your mind to possibly be traded? Will they be buyers or sellers? I just kind of feel like they're sellers more than they are buyers at this point. So let's start there. Do you think when they get to that trade deadline, they are going to be buyers or sellers?
Sellers. And I hesitate to say it because I have a lot of faith in this organization to put a competitive baseball team on the field. And even though they're not doing terribly well right now and they've been in a bad stretch, and we went over some of the numbers yesterday, just how bad the run has been. They've lost 5 of 6, 8 of 10, 13 of 19. This is not the time to lose 13 of 19 games. But that's where they are, and it's dropped them 9.5, close to 10 back. And so that's, that's bad. If they can't get it together quickly enough, Andy, I think you have to be sellers. I think you have to be. And I think you have to be sellers looking for guys who can hit. I mean, the organization has a great reputation for developing pitching. And for whatever reason, this team has just struggled like crazy to develop good hitting. Jose Ramirez, gift from above.
Right? Absolutely.
When it comes to offense, nobody expected that.
Nope.
Stephen Kwan. Remember when Stephen was the starting left fielder on opening day and we're all like, this is the guy who's going to be out there, huh? Because he was not really a highly thought of prospect. At least as far as the hype and everything else goes.
Neither was Ramirez.
Well, no, but I mean, Jose established himself and worked his way into it. Steven just ended up as the opening day left fielder. And though he was on the radar and had come up through the system and had done well and everything, all of a sudden, boom, there he is. And he's been terrific. Other than that, they've struggled to do that. If I'm the front office, I'm giving it a little bit more time unless the right deal happens to come along. You have to move Carlos Santana. I mean, what will you get for him? Probably a young prospect, guy in A ball or double A ball.
Yeah.
And this organization is great at finding guys in other organizations who come in and can actually play eventually. You got to think about moving Carlos in the right situation.
You want me to say it before you say it? Because I think
no,
I know where
I'm,
you're going.
I'm gonna, okay. I was beating around the bush before we get there. Right. I'll let you drop the hammer. Austin Hedges might be a guy you could move to a team that thinks they need a catcher because Dom Nunez came up the other day. He's been in the majors. If you need a second catcher, fine. You could move Hedgie. Figure out right field. Maybe move Lane Thomas if that's not going to work. Shane Bieber has a player option for next year. If Shane comes back and looks okay, if he gets a chance to start coming back from Tommy John surgery, and you don't think he's going to pick up his option for next year, why would you keep him? He could bring you something. And then there's this thought.
Emmanuel Clase.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he would probably bring back the best return. And let's face it, right? Cade Smith's sitting right there waiting, don't you think?
Cade Smith is a closer in waiting, Andy. Hunter Gaddis could be a closer in waiting. They have several. Don't forget.
I think there are teams that would just be drooling to get Class A, especially the way he's kind of turned things around right now.
He could get you a major league bat. And maybe then some.
And there's still time left on his contract where it's
extremely affordable.
Yeah, for everybody on board. Dan, when I say those words, what goes through your mouth?
$1.25 on the dollar.
For Class A?
Let's go. You want to give me $1.25 on the dollar? Yeah, let's talk.
You'd have to get a lot for him.
Bidding war. Let's go.
And Dan, some team would do it.
Oh, yeah. You always need relievers, and someone will always need a closer. That Yankee team right now with, I mean, Devin Williams is figuring out a little bit, but if you could have a two-headed monster of Devin Williams and Clase, give me your top prospects. Let's go.
Let me throw three more words at you.
Not to mention.
Los Angeles Dodgers. They have guys at the back end of the bullpen, but they don't have a designated closer.
And you'll get serious cash for him because he's got two club options for not a whole lot of dough, especially for the big number teams.
So what are we getting back?
You're getting top tier guys. You might get guys.
You could get guys you just put in your lineup and you play them.
Yeah. You might get guys who are AAA about to pop. I mean, like
you could get a starting shortstop.
Yeah. You can get top tier dudes. I mean, because people always overplay for relief pitchers at the deadline.
Especially at the deadline if you think you have a chance.
So hang tight, right?
I mean, AJ Preller hasn't made a trade in a while. I'm sure he's twitching. Who's the general manager of the San Diego Padres? That's the first phone call. He's probably twitching right now.
I can't think of. Well, I mean, unless there's, please just say to me these words because I just want to hear it. Jose's untouchable, right? Yeah. Okay, I just want to.
Make sure. He's not going anywhere.
They won't do that.
Good. I just want to make sure.
Unless he walks up to the front office and says, get me out of here.
I've had enough.
I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see that either.
I can't see him doing it. That's the only way they would move him is he would have to be the one that was like, guys,
if the dude left millions of dollars on the table when he signed his extension, he's not going to ask for a trade.
Yeah, he's statue worthy. He is. Trade Clase. Is that something that should be going through your mind right now? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We brought up just the notion of the July 31st, 6 p.m. trade deadline.
Tread lightly here.
Because I don't want to say anything
blasphemous. Tread lightly.
Well, I think it's hard not to look at this thing and say, look where the Guardians are right now. Look where they are in the Central. Now, I think you also have to look at where they are in the wild card. True?
Yes.
So the wild card gives you hope. Unfortunately,
you don't need to be the best team over 162. Just get in, as Dwayne said.
He's right.
Dwayne Kuiper was with us.
Yep.
Giants won, is a wild card.
So the Guardians go into tonight's game 9.5 games back on the Tigers at an even 35-35. Now, if you want to look at the wild card standings, knock yourself out. They are only one game back on a wild card spot where the three wild cards there, right? But they also have three teams to jump over, Seattle, Minnesota, and Texas. But again, it is June 17th, so it's way too early to be looking at some of the, I think it is.
Well, I think it's also too early. Mm-hmm. But there's one question here, and I think this is a big picture thing, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Is trying to squeeze into a wild card playoff spot for 1 year worth keeping something together that you, let's just work under this assumption, that you think isn't built well enough to go long term? Do you know what I mean? If you could move some pieces and make your team better for the next 2, 3, 4 years, but maybe sacrifice getting in as the last wild card team and getting the snot beat out of you by the Yankees or somebody. Jeff, is that worth it?
What happens, though, if perhaps, and I'll bring up what we brought up in the last segment about trading Emmanuel Clase, okay? And if you felt like last year was successful, and this is almost like the Cavs, that you just need one or two more pieces, especially someone who can hit the ball, maybe someone who could solidify, and I can't believe one of your middle infield spots, why wouldn't you do it? Especially if you think you have closers in waiting. If you have closers in waiting and you feel like you can bring in someone that could come in here and hit over 300, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Or around 300?
With some pop.
Yeah. That, why wouldn't you do that? And if you're a game back, you know, can you be kind of a seller and a buyer at the same time? I think that's a possibility. If you trade the right guy, and I would think, Jeff, I mean, I'm not going to sit here for the next couple weeks and keep saying this, because I hate giving up talent, and I hate giving up talent that you think can help you win, especially in the playoffs, and that would be Emmanuel Clase. It just, to me, the argument that both of you guys made, I think, last segment, made a lot of sense. And I think you could go twofold. Could you be a buyer and seller at the same time? What do you think?
Sure, but I don't know what's out there that would make you immediately hop in and say, yep, that's my guy.
Is there a young AAA hitter that is right on the edge that some team might be willing to walk away from?
Yes.
Or a closer?
Remember,
so you're saying all in one deal. Okay, I'm sorry. I was going through the Rolodex in my head. I'm like, no, I don't want any real. I don't want a Rocky. No, there isn't a Marlin out there. I was going through that. I apologize.
Hold on. I just, in the last break, I just, for the sake of this discussion.
Yeah.
I had mentioned the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
I typed in trade closer. That's all I typed into Google.
Okay.
Washington Nationals on SI. Proposed Nationals trade swap shutdown closer for power hitting Dodgers prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You know, do they want the guy from the Nationals, Finnegan, or do they want Emmanuel Clase?
And wouldn't you rather trade with an American League team over a National League?
I don't care.
That means utterly nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Zero?
Not a damn thing.
The kid's name, Logan Wagner, infielder with the Dodgers, power hitting prospect, 21.
Hmm. Greg is in North Canton. Hi, Greg.
Okay, first of all, the reason why you trade Class A is, number one, what he did last year probably cannot be replicated.
I don't know how it possibly could, Greg. It might have been the greatest closer season ever.
I'm sick and tired of trading for Jake Bowers 3.0. I mean, that is all we trade. Kyle Manzardo is Jake Bowers, Ben Broussard. We, in the gap between AAA pitching, AAA hitting in the majors is ridiculous anymore. I mean, Jonathan Rodriguez hits 40 homers in AAA, gets up here, looks like he can't hit anything. John Kenzie tears up AAA pitching. You need a guy that's a can't-miss, bona fide guy who's actually played in the majors. None of this guys that are on the fringe, because we have a ton of those.
So, but here, the problem is, why would a team want to give up someone like that?
Well, if you got to win now, you got to win now. I mean, that's the thing. In the Dodgers land, you got to win every single year.
And you can replace them every year with free agents, and you have a good farm system that develops talent too, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Some teams just have to win every year, and you just can't keep this process. The bottom line is, if you think about the offense has been like this since the All-Star break last year. That offense that you saw in the first half of the season, overachieved. This is what it is. I mean, weren't they like the worst hitting team after the All-Star break last year?
It's food for thought. There's no question. Greg, thank you. Greg in North Canton checking in. You know, we're bringing up the notion of Emmanuel Clase, and should he be the guy that should be shopped around here as we get 6 weeks out?
Or is he hands off? He's under contract, reasonable contract. He's as good as anybody at his position in baseball.
I'll go back to what Dan said, that you can ask for the world with him.
You give me $1.25 on a dollar, we're having a conversation.
I mean, I get it. No, I get it.
That's where we are, because the thing with the Guardians is they don't have to do it. This isn't Josh Naylor. This isn't Francisco Lindor. This isn't Ubaldo Jimenez. This isn't any of those moves. This is, I mean, he could stay here. We're good with him staying here. He could keep pitching for us. That's great. Here's my price.
And
meet me at my price.
And unfortunately, if you're looking to trade him, or if you don't want to, unfortunately, they have a surplus there because Cade Smith looks like he could do that job right now. And that's not, I mean, it's not, I'm not going to say better than Clase, but he's going to go out and get you saves and pitch well. I think Hunter Gaddis could do it. Andrew Walters was the closer in waiting until he just messed up, what is labrum, and he's going to be out for a while. But Sam Hentges is coming back. Could Tim Herron close games? You bet he could.
He is under contract next year, Emmanuel Clase, for $6.4 million.
Unbelievable.
Followed by two club options for $10 million and $10 million.
Which means some team could trade for him and have him under contract for 3 years.
For four playoff
runs. At a bargain basement.
Four
playoff runs. So now is it $1.50 on the dollar?
That's why. That's why
you were only $1.25 a minute ago. Now I'm already up to $1.50. Oh,
yeah. That's why the Guardians can sit here and go, you want to do it? Here's our price tag. Hey, Red Sox, it starts with Roman Anthony. Like, you can play that card because it's like, hey, man, you've got I got 4 years of this guy.
Yeah.
If you think you need to win now, let's go. Like, that's the card you can play.
And, you know, I can't imagine the Red Sox saying, that's a great idea, let's do it. However, if that happened and Roman Anthony considered the number one hitting prospect in baseball,
right?
If they said yes, I'm sorry, you trade Emmanuel Clase.
I might drug test them if they said yes, but yeah, I would trade them Emmanuel Clase before the drug test.
That's exactly right. But that's the situation. If somebody jumps and gives you one of the top hitting prospects in all of baseball, and I know prospect doesn't mean star, prospect means exactly what it means. But I mean, you could slide Cade Smith into the closer job, and he would do the job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be as good as Clase? Hard to imagine, but who's going to say no?
AP is in Strongsville. AP.
Hey guys, thanks for talking guards this morning, afternoon, whatever it is.
Our pleasure.
Hey, so a couple things. The first part is when you mentioned Clase and the Dodgers. The name that I go loopy for and hope that they can get is Andy Pages.
That's my dude too.
I love that guy. I'd go pick him up from the airport. He can stay with me in the Ville for a little while he gets settled in.
The Ville.
Really excited about that. Here's a couple other things though that they have to do. I love both of these guys. Carlos Santana and Lane Thomas also have to be gone sooner rather than later. It would be quite frankly malpractice if we don't get CJ Kapus and Chase DeLauder 300 plate appearances, and we can't do it with either one of them still on this roster. I love Los. He's a Guardians Indians legend, but he's tying up. His value is not on this team.
It's right clogging now. It's clogging the drain. Yeah.
It's now costing Manzardo at bats because they're giving David Fry at bats. And Kapus's main position is first base. And AP, I'll push back on you just a little bit. I don't know that DeLauder's ready to come up because he might not have enough at bats in the minors to, you know, to be confident enough to come up here. Sounds like Kapus does.
Kapus does. My thing with DeLauder is I believe next year he will be a guy that you have to put on your 40. Otherwise, he'll be exposed to the Rule 5. So why not just let him come up here? And you got to see, because what they do, what I feel like the Guardians have run themselves into the last 5-6 years, even going back to the end of Tito's time here, is they just don't get guys enough at bats in it. Times, you know, is it like a couple of years ago, Tito's last year when they were struggling and they finished below 500, we had Ahmed Rosario taking 500 at bats. And you miss seeing if those AAA guys can succeed. You know, a guy that I kind of go back to, now this is a little while and a couple teams ago, is the Twins have a guy, Willie Castro, who could never play here. Willie Castro would be the perfect guy on this Guardians team right now. He's a guy who can play everywhere over the field, but they never give these guys enough chances to see. I think this year, unfortunately, looks like one of these years where they're going to probably hover around 500. They can't do it by getting Lane Thomas, Carlos Santana.
And giving away those at bat. I totally agree with you, AP. Thank you, AP in Strongsville. Checking in, 216-474-0092. I want to continue on with this, too, the thought of maybe Clase being the guy that you should trade, or do you have somebody else? Carlos Santana's name has floated around there. Plus, I got a couple of things I want to get to when we come back. Jake Chapman's going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is the voice of the Orlando Magic.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. I want to finish up this conversation about the Guardians and who is someone they should be looking at trading, or who's on your list for who the Guardians should be trading. And it's hard not to look at Carlos Santana as one of those guys that could be on the trade block, and Emmanuel Clase has got to be there too, especially with a high return.
You think he has to be there?
I think he has to be on the call list. How's that sound?
You have to answer the phone if somebody's calling about him.
Yeah, or I don't know that you're making phone calls, but I think you're getting calls from other teams, don't you?
I would think so, and I think you ought to make a few as well.
So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Also, I have a tax question for you here.
I just don't think you're going to get a ton for Carlos. You might get a lower-level minor league
player. Yeah, that feels like that kind of feels like the trade I think that they made to get him. I'm trying to remember. Wasn't he a double-A player with the Dodgers when they brought him in? Yeah, for Casey Blake. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like it's the other way around, right? That he would be almost a circle of life kind of thing going on there. Robert is in Brecksville. Hello, Robert.
Hey, so let's say Clase does get traded. Let's say Dan gets the kitchen sink he's looking for, and then, you know, that stainless steel countertop and all that good stuff. One track record I notice this team has with trading pitching, whether it's a starter or a guy in the bullpen, is we always seem to trade them at the right time, right before they fall off a cliff, whether it's with off-the-field stuff or they're just at the end of their career. I mean, it happened to Kluber, Bauer. You had Clevenger, and you had, I think, the guy that just went to Chicago. Was that Savali or whatever it was?
Savali. You traded Savali to Tampa, yeah.
Or whoever just got traded to Chicago from Milwaukee.
It was Aaron Savali.
Savali, yeah.
And you got Manzardo for him.
Yeah. So if we trade him, the one thing I could see out of this is the organization must see something that he might be closer to the end than the rest of us would like it, so that we're going to do it now to let him become somebody else's problem. That's the only thing that would make sense to me, because we have a really good track record of trading pitching at the right time.
Valid point, Robert.
Good job. Thank you, Robert in Brecksville. A little bit of baseball news just to throw along your way. The coaches and staff were announced for the All-Star game already. Stephen Vogt was named to Aaron Boone's staff this year.
Wonder if he has to go coach first base or something.
I wonder if he'll have a base, or will he be the bench coach?
I don't know. I don't think he's coached a base in his life.
Do you think?
Went from player to bench coach to manager.
You know, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I never thought about that. Aaron Boone, friend of the show. So.
Not as easy coaching bases as you might think.
I'm sure AB will give him plenty of stories about his time here in Cleveland. It'll be exciting for them. All right, you've got some kind of tax story you were talking about. I heard you babbling about something about taxes. What do you got?
Wait, Dan, what kind of a setup was that?
Kids, huddle around and get excited. We're talking taxes.
You got some kind of tax story? I heard you babbling about something.
Yeah, well, you're saying something about taxes.
That was exciting, Andy. Way to set it all up.
Well, Jeff,
who wants a 1099?
Oh, man. Give me some WD-40 for that 1099.
Can I adjust my withholding?
How many are you claiming, Jeff?
Ooh, it's a deductible.
You know, you hear people talk about, well, he's making $30 million a year, but, you know, you'd be surprised how little of that he gets.
He wants to play in Montana, or he wants to play in Florida because there's no state income tax.
You
right?
hear all that stuff, don't
yes.
you?
Yes, you do.
Well, J.J. Spahn won the United States Open, correct?
Yes, he did.
$4.3 million.
How much did he actually get, Jeff?
It's a pretty good weekend, is it not?
Yes.
Boosts his career winnings to $22 million. But a story in Golf Monthly says, yeah, but he'll only get to keep a percentage due to taxes. Yeah, well, guess what? That's the price of being a United States citizen. We all have to pay our taxes. So according to the online betting platform Ask Gamblers, Spahn is getting a tax bill. He won 4.3.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to $1.7 million.
You can take away the pain, but you can't take away the swelling.
40.07% goes toward Fed and state-based taxes.
And then take another, what, 10% off for Caddy, right?
I would think. So Caddy gets, what, about 400 Gs?
So now you're down to 50% of the actual number you made, right? Yeah, if you're 40 in taxes, that's about 10 right. on the Caddy, yeah.
That's about right. But I would think you would have to pay your Caddy pre-tax, wouldn't you?
I wonder how that works. Dan, you're not an accountant. You could probably answer that.
Tax rate from the Fed, 37%. Pennsylvania, just over 3.
By the way, what I said about Montana state taxes, I was wrong. Bad. Bad, Andy.
Take a lap.
There are 8 United States states that, that sounds weird, that do not have any state
Florida,
income tax.
Texas.
Alaska. Florida. Nevada.
Texas.
South Dakota.
Texas.
Tennessee.
Texas.
Where, Jeff?
Texas.
Washington and Wyoming.
You know why I know Texas?
Why?
Because I'll always remember, because that we didn't have to pay state taxes when I lived in Texas, mm-hmm. or now, my take home every 2 weeks was over $300. Thank you. $307.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
So because of that, you know, I was over $300 every 2 weeks in take home, as opposed to being under $300 to be a weekend sports.
He's also got to play. I'm sure he's got to pay like Pennsylvania tax on that.
I already mentioned that. Yeah, are you not listening to me?
Well, I'm just trying to think.
That I said Pennsylvania tax is 3.07%. Dan, he's not listening again.
You are talking about taxes. If there's anything we're all going to zone out on, it's taxes.
That's true.
Valid.
The other point, too, is that, I mean, what are you, probably 50 or 60% turnpike tax? Because once you hit the border, man, that PA turnpike, they know how to charge you for driving on their freeways, on their turnpikes. Isn't that true?
I bet the courtesy cars all came with a easy pass.
You think?
Yep.
I doubt it.
I'll bet they did.
I doubt it. So would that make you not want to win? Would that make you not want to be a professional
athlete?
Yeah,
I think I'd pass up winning the U.S. Open because I'd have to pay tax. I'd rather finish second and pay less tax, just on principle.
I wish we should have asked Ben, like, when you win overseas. Now I wonder how much even more taxes you take when you win the Open.
Hey,
if it was
Ben,
the British Open, it would probably be less.
Give us a complete, disclaimer. Give us all of your financial information on winning the British Open.
That would be, yeah, I'd love to know that. No? So basically, when someone wins a prize, you're looking at like almost 50% in taxes, whether it's on a game show or...
Well, if you're a pro golfer, between tax and paying your caddy, yeah. Wouldn't you think?
It does sound a little hefty. It's a lot of tax dollars for that.
Yeah, well, you're left with a lot of money too.
Although you got to feel good that you won, right?
You take the two, whatever it is that's left. Be smart, and you don't have to work rest of your life.
Financial advice with Jeff Phelps. Here we go.
Well, could you not survive the rest of your life on $2 million?
I think. Okay, well, at least for 6 weeks. Yes, Jeff, I could live for the rest of my life on $2 million.
Not to mention it would open the door for advertising. It would open the door for all sorts of other events.
It would open the door for checking out and going to fish.
Help to fund a lot of life as well that come with the tax. But with that does come more taxes and thus the endless circle.
We think it's bad when we look at our paychecks. Can you imagine? I won $4.3 million. $1.7 in Fed taxes? Wow. Seriously.
All right.
Could you imagine? I'm giving the federal government $1.7 million. Holy shnikes.
Dan, we got 2 more minutes here. Listen, the bird story or the driving story?
Bird.
Bird?
Boyd.
Bird. You guys got to help me with this. Folks, please help me with this.
And
I had an issue with this before, that there was a bird that kept flying into the window of our basement over and over and over again. I put a picture of an owl on the window.
It worked.
Yeah. So the last couple days, there's a place where I parked my car outside.
It's called a driveway.
Well, just I don't want to tell you exactly where, but yeah, it was in a driveway.
You park there.
Yeah.
Park in a driveway, driving a parkway.
Driveway.
Yeah. All right, I was in a parkway, and then I stopped the car. Now where am I?
Let's take 2 more.
Mm-hmm. So I
look, Les.
and Tropical Storm comes up to me. That's my son. And he comes up to me and says, Dad, what is going on with your rearview mirror and your side mirror on your driver's side? I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, look at this. This is really weird. There's like, I don't know if somebody hit it or what. And I walked over to it. And then I noticed that there was like, there's a bird that's been flying into my mirrors of my car. And he's leaving traces of being there. Hint, hint. Right? Both mirrors now.
Oh, sugar booger.
Exactly. So I was walking the dogs, and then I saw the car, and I saw this. I'm not sure if it's a blue jay or a blue bird. I don't know what the difference is. And he was sitting on the antenna of the car. So there's like an antenna on the back of the car.
Taunting you.
And he was sitting there, and I'm like, oh. And then I just waited for a second.
Taunting.
And then he went over to the door, and he started flying into the mirror of the car. And I'm like, how am I going to stop this? So in 20 seconds we have left in the segment, Dan, how do I stop it?
It's a good question. I mean, I've never ran into it myself. My initial thought.
What is it with birds wanting to fly into my house and into my car?
They can't get enough of you, Andy.
My initial thought is maybe find some kind of, I don't know, do birds have scent? But if they do, maybe put like soap around it so that it smells like people so it stays away because it thinks people are near.
I think it wants to fight itself.
I think it does too.
That's what the problem is. It sees itself in the mirror and it wants to go toe-to-toe with itself.
Right.
Problem you've had oftentimes.
That's true. I often shadow box myself and lose. I knock myself out once. It was bad.
Put a picture of an owl on your rearview mirror or on your side mirrors.
How does that help me while I'm driving?
Well, because the other one is streamers, too.
The bluebird's not bothering you when you're driving.
Not as far as you know.
It's when you're parked. Just tape the picture there, and it'll run away.
Am I the only person with this issue?
Yes, you're the only person with a lot of issues.
Have you ever had this problem?
No.
I've never seen this before.
Bluebirds are cute.
No, this thing is an aggressive punk.
It's probably a blue jay. Blue jays are
nasty birds.
They're mean.
Bluebirds are cute. They're little.
Birds in Texas. Who does this better than us?
I have a friend, Mark, who's a bird watcher.
Oh, that's good.
He could come to your house and just watch him.
I just don't understand.
Look at your rearview mirror.
Why is this dumb bird
side mirror
flying into my mirrors of my car? I don't get it. 216-474-0092. We'll answer that at some point during the rest of the show. Yeah. Someone's going to help me. Someone is going to help me figure this thing out. Jake Chapman's going to help us figure out the Orlando Magic after a big trade.
I got a little help for you, Andy.
What is it?
Shoot the bird.
Not a nice thing.
Wow, don't say that.
Wow. You have mean friends.
The Audubon Society's on line three, Dan.
That's the last thing I need. I don't need issues like that. 216-474-0092. Jake Chapman, next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.